हरे हे
Examinest thou the works executed by those that are employed by thee, and applaudest thou them before good men, and rewardest thou them, having shown them proper respect. Shown, S-H-E-W-N. Cool. Okay. So here is also, as he's examining himself, right? Because if you're not going out and seeing, then you're actually not in touch. Right, so it has to be. Someone else can be supervising the work, but still you have to examine it. Otherwise, how do you know what they're doing? What's going on if it's according to what you're expecting? Like that. Does that make sense? Right. So one is never too big, because remember, he's talking about the emperor of the world. Right. So as far as a manager goes on this planet, are you going to get bigger than the emperor of the world? Right. Does that make sense? Okay, so therefore, he's supposed to go and examine, right? So that means you're never too big, right? The guy that sits in the office all day and doesn't examine, remember, according to the Vedic standard, that's called a bureaucrat, right? Which technically is a shudra, right? Leaders go out and work with people. Bureaucrats don't work with people, they work with papers, they sit in offices. Right? Does that make sense? So leadership means you have to go, you have to see what's going on. Does that make sense? So you're never too big for that. Oh, we're too big, you have to come to us. No, it says you go, examinest thou the works. Right? How do you examine something that's a piece of art or something else? Right? They bring it to your office. Right? You understand? No, you go out and see it. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, followest thou, O bull of the barred race, followest thou the aphorisms of the sage in respect of every concern, particularly those relating to elephants, horses, and cars. So in respect of every concern. So that means all the different little details of the kingdom, right? Now, what time of the day also is this going on for the king?
After lunch?
Yes, in the evening time, right? Because that's the time he goes out. Before that, he gets up, he does his yajnas, his sadhana, he gives in charity, he attends the court, right? After court, he meets his ministers, then after that, then he spends time with the family. But after spending time with the family, then in the afternoon, then that's when he goes out, right? Because that's the time, right? People like to go for a stroll in the evening, right? So then morning is the time when you can focus, you can work, you can get it done. The afternoon is for these kind of works. Even Brahmins also. The morning they do their teaching, they do their studying, their whatever they're doing. In the evening time, that's when they go check their fields, check this, check that, deal with ordinary business, they have people to meet. regarding general business and lifestyle. That's what they do in the afternoon. They don't do it in the morning, right? Like that. Does that make sense? So the afternoon is the time for meeting people, going out, seeing, doing. That's the time, right? That's just the standard time. So then the king would be doing this at that time. He would be examining the works. He would be checking and see how his, you know, horses, the elephants, the chariots, the weaponries, the treasuries, all these different things. That's when he's going to do all his inspections. Right? So he has to be out. People don't see him. They don't know he exists. Right? They see him, then he's alive. Remember, you're dealing with common people. Common people, you make contact, the relationship stays alive. You don't make contact, the relationship starts to, you know, disappear. Does that make sense? Right? Okay. Where else is this used? Right? Politics. Well, no, this is in the political field that you're working with the parent, you know, the senior and the junior. What's the common principle here? Right? King, citizens. Right, yes. And then one more that all that's based on? Spiritual world, but what from the spiritual world? Yes. That you're going to say? Masculine, feminine. Okay. Masculine to masculine, basically. All it is when you do come in contact, if you interact, then it stays exactly the way it is, right? Two men have a relationship, then they don't meet for 10 years. As soon as they meet, exactly where it left off, that's where they will start. You know, basically same mood, same vocabulary, same everything. But when you're man to woman, then it has to be constantly nourished. Otherwise, it goes to neutral. Right? Even women to women. It's not constant, it goes to neutral. Then if you properly open the discussion again, then it will go from neutral back to what it was basically immediately. But if you don't start off on the right foot there, you could, in that moment, change the relationship. Right? That's why women are always worried that if they don't have constant contact with their children, especially their sons, their relationship with them will die. Right? That's the inherent reason that mothers can't let go of their sons into the educational system. Because they figure their relationship with them will disappear. But that's their nature, not the son's nature. Right? It's the nature with the daughters, therefore the girls go home every day. Therefore, girls have breaks and holidays because of this. But boys, it's not. That's why they don't have. Does that make sense? So this is inherent in here. So the same principle applies. If the king doesn't go out and see the citizens, the relationship goes down. Right? Does that make sense? The teachers, they don't see the students, the relationship goes down. Right. Therefore, someone as they move up in the, how you say, the educational hierarchy, if they separate themselves from the students, who knows them? Right? Think about it. You went to a school, there was a principal. Did you know what he even looked like? Right? Unless you were in trouble, did you ever see the principal? Right? Maybe once, twice a year they come out for a formal announcement at some school. You know, one of those boring programs, and he comes out and says a few things and then disappears, and then, right? Does that make sense? Because there's no relationship. So then how does he know how to train and guide? Because he doesn't know who he's dealing with. Does that make sense? You know, you have a business person and he has his staff. He has to make contact. Otherwise, how are they going to be good shooters? Shooter has to work for the person because they're working for a person. Right? Shooters don't work for an institution. They work for a person. Does that make sense? So, like that? Right? And then also, then we're dealing... Does that make sense? So, in all times, all these things, you're preaching, you have a community, then you have to be in contact. You can't sit in your little office and expect the community is going to go well. You have to make contact. Does that make sense? It's the same principle. Like that, because that's what you're dealing with. You understand? So even though they're mentioned in one place, the intelligent person, knowing the synonyms, knows it works also in those places. Right? Right? So that's how you're supposed to contemplate and use your brain. Is understand that these principles work anywhere they apply. Not means you give example of one, so you the one that has the most. After that, then everything else goes, right? In other words, he's making contact with his citizens and with his army, with his officers, with his ministers. So naturally, he's going to be making contact with his family. Right? But it's the same thing. He's not contacting them. It doesn't work. Yeah? Does that make sense?
As a mother, you're in a masculine role with your son.
Yes, yeah. But...
So, what relationship does the son expect from the mother?
Son expect from the mother.
Yeah.
Trained or untrained? Untrained, it's food happens by magic. The house is cleaned by magic. The clothes are washed and ironed and folded up and put away by magic. Any mess you make or anything you do happens by magic. Anything you break is replaced by magic. You know, so basically it's just whenever you want something, you get it, and whenever you don't want something, you don't want to know about it. Sound familiar? Yeah, okay. So that's the untrained son, right? The trained son is then the role reverses. He actually is in the masculine role, the mother's in the feminine, because then he takes care of the mother. He's responsible. But you can only do that if you've turned the son into a man. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But that can happen at any age. Okay. Then he'll be responsible. He'll take care. He'll
so
do this.
To nurture the relationship of the trained son and the mother has to drop the masculine role.
It naturally happens because the point is it's like this: the masculine-feminine dynamic is it will be 100%, right? It's a complete role. So therefore, if the man is acting 100% masculine, then the female will act 100% feminine. If he's 80%, she'll be 20%. If he's 50%, she'll be 50%. If he's 90% female, she'll be, you know, she'll be the 90, you know, the masculine. It's just automatic. It means they can't function without that balance. So it'll just automatically go. Does that make sense? So the point is if he takes that up, the mother will automatically make the adjustment. You know, and because, okay, we should do this, we should do that, get ready now and that. And then if he's taking that role, so what should we do now? What should I do? It'll just automatically happen.
And to assist the untrained son in actually becoming a man.
You have to put him with other men.
Yeah, so say if there's some anarchy in the heart where one still wants to be female for a while longer. So instead of taking on the masculine role so much, actually bring in the feminine role, and then they have to be masculine. Does it
to some degree, but the problem is because they don't know what masculine is, they don't know how to deal with it right. So then it starts to annoy them, right? Because if you, in any family situation that's not going right, then the men will always say it's the women. Of course, the women will say it's the men. But the point is the points that the women say are always the same. The points that the men say are always the same. But according to Shastra, the men are what's wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because women only respond to how they behave. You know what I'm saying? The men act properly, the women respond to that. But then the concept of what is a properly responding female is not right either, because they don't understand the concept of possession. There's a difference between a woman who's trying to possess and one who has achieved possession. Because, in other words, the difference goes between who's the center. If the woman doesn't possess, the man's the center, and she moves around that until she catches it. But when she catches it, then she becomes the center. The man's supposed to move around that. The men don't catch that idea, that understanding. They have no idea of that. Absolutely, basically zero. So therefore, then it's what happened and why she changed and why is she like this and that. But the point is if he works now according to the rules of possession, then what he saw before, he'll see now 50% of the time instead of 100% of the time. Because 50% is all you can expect. A woman acting 100% of the time in that capacity is not sustainable.
It's because of insecurity?
No, it's because of nature. The woman is, man is active, woman is passive. Therefore, she can do it to start something. Right? You know, it's like you put in like you have a bowl of milk, okay? And you want to make it into yogurt. How much yogurt do you put into it to make it into milk? This much? No. You put in a little bit, right? And then what's supposed to happen? It's supposed to make itself into yogurt. You know what I'm saying? But if you have to put the same amount or more and constantly doing, is it worth it? No. So that's the whole point, is the woman will put in something as a culture. But the man thinks, oh, that's just, you know, regular. So he doesn't understand that's the culture. Now he's supposed to take that and then do something with it. It means, in other words, what she does is what he's supposed to do back. In other words, what he's supposed to start, that's how it's supposed to be done. They don't catch that. Too thick. Like that. Like that. Some wonder is actually... How would you define the thickness? Is it because there's two outside things and they're thick and so it's hard to get into the middle, or it's so thick that they're combined so it's just one solid substance of thickness? Like that. That's the question. You know, are we dealing with, you know, buffalo hide or rhinoceros hide, you know, or are we just doing with a solid block of, you know, thickness here?
So then, is it like with the teacher and the student, like the mother and the child, because you put something there with the attachment?
But it's more because you see the teacher's taking the masculine role, so that means they're taking the active role. So how they deal is how the student will respond. So that's why it's important to match the student and the teacher. There's no one that is not a student. It's just a matter of finding who is their teacher, right? Guy's 500 pounds, you know, and, you know, you say the wrong thing and he'll kick you down the stairs, might be the right teacher for, you know, a criminal mentality, right? Because they have respect. You have a gang, they have genuine respect for the guy on top, because if he doesn't, you're dead. You know, it's that simple. You know, it's not like your mom who will yell at you, or your dad who might give you a whack or something like that, or the school might expel you. This guy will expel you from, you know, the gene pool, right? You know, so like that. So does that make sense? So it's there, but it's a matter of matching. So what they need to know, who is there, then that's what you have to see. So that's why in the educational system there's always a trial period. The traditional Vedic trial period is 1 year, but some authorities even give 3 years before you say, yes, this relationship's there. Because in the Vedic tradition, you establish a relationship with the teacher, it's a lifelong relationship. It's like mother and father. Like that. It's not something that is just there. But that means the teachers who are taking that responsibility, right? That's why in this system, even though one might say, it's a small school, but it's designed after a university. So it's based on that kind of a hierarchy. And so therefore, our heads of the education are called deans. Right? Most people call them principals, but they're actually deans. Because a principal is a manager, an administrator. A dean is someone who does the management, but the difference between them is they're responsible for the personal development of the students. The teachers aren't. right? Because they're upadhyayas. They're excellent, expert in a certain area. But the dean, they're like the acharya. Their business is changing the nature and quality and character of the student. So that's why they're deans, even though you don't see a big, huge faculty. Because that's what they do, right? A school, that's why we're not a school. School is you just teach academics, that's it. Right? But the Gurukul means is that you're dealing with a lifestyle. What they do in the school is what they do out of the school. Like that. And if you don't have control over that, it's not a proper match, it's not a proper fit. Right? So therefore, the mother can put the son under someone who can do that for her, because she can't do that herself. Right? Milk does not make yogurt. Yogurt makes yogurt. Yogurt turns milk into yogurt. So men will turn boys into men. Women don't. They can inspire them to, and because of that, it'll make the process happen faster. If the son knows that the mother wants him to become a man, that'll inspire him to take that association more seriously and turn into one quicker. You know? Unless, you know, it's in the army and you have to. You know, but whatever it is, but that's how it works. Because what is first? Who's first, Krishna or Radharani? Good choice. Okay, so Krishna's first. So then he expands his energy. So who's dependent upon who? Yes, so therefore, a real man can make real women, a real man can make men. So that's why in the Vedic literature it always says he. Because that's the one that has to do it. They do it, everything else will fall in place. You have he's, you will automatically have she's. You just have to put an S on the front, right? Does that make sense? Like that. So that's the system. Little understood. Not necessarily appreciated, but that's the reality, that's the science. You follow it, it works. You don't follow it, it never works. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So the mother looks around for those persons she can trust that they are going to educate their son and turn him into something of use. Right? That's what they can do. That's the masculine aspect that they're doing there. But otherwise, then they're taking the lead, taking the responsibility. Yes, that's there. But as far as relationship goes, they still are going to respond. Their needs and desires are still going to be feminine, though they're taking the masculine role. But how they're going to act, everything is still going to be feminine, like that. Even the you know, upfront, you know, in your face, liberated women still act just like women. There's nothing that they do as a man. They may take the active role, but how long do they do that? Right? They have to go home and be able to have someone else then take the feminine role. Right? So that's how it works in, you know, San Fran. You were saying? Answered? Okay.
You mentioned how should a certain person, not an institution. Can we make a parallel of after Srila Prabhupada left, many of his disciples and other followers look for some other Vajracharya or some persons that they feel they can guide. Is there some parallel?
That Prabhupada left? Or means, that devotees left?
Yeah, after Prabhupada left.
Yeah. Means it's not because Prabhupada left that this happened. Because when Prabhupada was here, how many people actually dealt with Prabhupada? You understand? Most everyone dealt with a leader. And if you ask, who are they under, who is inspiring them? Right? You know, in LA you work with Karandar, in Chicago it's Bhakta Das, you know, in New York you had different persons, Bhavananda was there, you had TKG, you had Vishnu John, you had all these different people like that who were like leading the thing, and everyone was inspired and followed them. And the temple president in those days actually was considered like a human being. You know, he was respectable. How we deal with the sannyasis and that now, actually better than that. We dealt with our temple presidents basically how we deal on the informal level with gurus now. Like that. It's changed so much. How we deal with sannyasis is how we dealt with second initiated devotees. And how we dealt with gurus, you don't even see it today. It just doesn't exist. It's the amount of surrender in that, not necessarily the worship. Like that. So, therefore, it went like that. What happened is at some point there's some break in that faith with those leadership. And then the solution to that is get rid of leadership, right? The baby's dirty and all this water, so you throw out the baby in the bathwater. No baby, you don't have to have dirty bathwater. Hey. So get rid of leadership, get rid of gurus, and then supposedly you solve your problem. So for bureaucrats, it works fine because bureaucrats don't know how to deal with people. Right? It means they really don't know. They can run a conversation, they can run a meeting, but they're not actually dealing with the people. They know the science of a meeting. They don't know the science of people. Because even though they may be a great facilitator of a meeting, it's not necessarily that as a person you have any trust or faith in them. You know they can run a good meeting. But outside that meeting, you don't trust them as far as you can throw them, because technically they're politicians. They're not leaders. So that's why that's your best of your bureaucrats. Others just sit in their offices, and that's all. So without leadership, you don't have human society. But unfortunately, it's not a very popular thing these days, because bureaucrats don't like anything to go wrong. It's a rule, it's in the book, it should happen exactly according to that. The problem is human life means you have to take that rule and apply it in each case differently because you're dealing with a different individual, different situation. Leaderships are comfortable with that. Managers can adjust with that if they have a leader above that. Bureaucrats can't adjust to it at all. They have to be told what to do. You do this, that's it. You put bureaucrats in charge, it's called hell. Like that. It's just that simple. It's the science. Okay, move on. O sinless one, art thou acquainted with all mysterious incantations and the secrets of poisons destructive of all foes? Because if you're not, they're going to get you. Right? Not necessarily that you have to use them, but you have to protect yourself from them. Like that. Protectest thou thy kingdom from the fear of fire, of snakes and other animals destructive of life, of disease and rakshasas. Right? So then you have to design the kingdom so it can't burn. Right? You know, you don't have these, you know, how you say, nice things where it's just constant, you know, just slums all over the place. There has to be spaces, parks, like Vedic roads, you know, have boulevards. Right? Big roads, they have boulevards, they have the parks in the middle, they have this and that, so they'll you know, how you design it, there won't be fires. You also protect it from that the enemy can't come and attack you and then burn your place down. Like that, you know. Snakes, then also is that how you build it. Like generally palaces and that, they're built built in proper places, snakes aren't there, the place is clear. Snakes don't like cleared areas. They like grass and stuff. But if the area is clear, it's smooth, you know, like that, they don't like it. Like the other animals, so therefore then they have to see that they go out regularly hunting, kill off all the wild animals that are going to bother the citizens, right? Some are okay. If there's a small amount, they eat the animals. They get more of them, then they start bothering the villagers. Like that, disease, there's proper purity, there's proper water, there's proper training. Rakshasas, that they don't come and bother the sacrifices, the Brahmins and things like that, so they would have to take care of all these things. As acquainted thou art with every duty, cherishest thou like a father the blind, the dumb, the lame, the deformed, the friendless, and the ascetics that have no homes. So in other words, the king's got to see that all these persons are taken care of. Blind, dumb, lame, deformed, friendless, and ascetics. They always have to be provided for. Like that. Hast thou banished these six evils, O monarch, namely sleep, idleness, fear, anger, weakness of mind, and procrastination? Right? This came up before. In other words, he doesn't sleep more than is necessary. How much he has to sleep, he sleeps. More than that, he doesn't sleep. Like idleness, he doesn't do nothing. There's no such thing as that. It just doesn't exist. Kings always have to do something. Anger, by anger you will do something wrong. You will say the wrong thing, you will do the wrong thing, you will get yourself in trouble, right? It's like said in the, you see much of the time in like the Oriental martial arts, it's said who makes the first move loses, right? So that's the whole point, is the person who's angry, he loses. The person who's not angry, in other words, who's less angry, wins. So anger never like that. So there's so many vices that come up by anger like that, that you're destroyed by. Weakness of mind, so you don't know what to do, this, that, no focus, nothing gets done. Right? Then you become idle. Or weakness of mind, you become overwhelmed by the senses. Right? So from weakness of anger, then there's weakness of the senses. Like these two things destroy the kings. So they have to be focused on their duties. They have to control their anger. So that means, how do you control your anger? What is that position? What position are you taking? Right? Of this masculine and feminine. What are you taking? Masculine, right? Because that means you can't get frustrated that the performance of your duties isn't bearing fruit. If it's not bearing fruit, it means you're not doing them right. Right? You have to adjust. Right? You adjust, it works. You don't adjust, it doesn't work. Yes?
Isn't it okay to be angry if you see something wrong, something going on, and you
want
to correct that?
Can you be angry and get something done, but how you will apply that anger? Because just anger, since when has anger corrected anything? Think about it. Think about those things that really made an impression on your life, changed your values, created your values. Change your perspective. Was it because someone was just emotionally angry and freaking out? Never. Not one. All of them are something because somebody was focused and it meant something to them. Yes?
What I mean, isn't it that if you see something that's wrong, inside you could be angry, but you deal with it because...
Yes, that's there. That's there. But it's not, I'm telling you that it's just that... Have you banned it? Means you're not overwhelmed by it, not overcome by it. It doesn't mean that you don't sleep, right? You know, it doesn't mean that idleness is not used, but idleness is used, and the positive is that you have an enemy that's more powerful than you, but you can't do anything. So you're idle. It's called neutral there. So it's not called idle. So anger and the control. Prabhupada says the Kshatriyas can't fight unless they're angry. But it's not emotion that makes them do it. You know what I'm saying? It's control. It means, in other words, you have a big fire. You know, it just burns everything. But you control it, then it only burns what you want. You cook because the fire is controlled. Does that make sense? So the controlling makes it actually more powerful, but then it's directed. So you have to know how to control it and direct it. Then it works. Like that. But just yelling and screaming makes you feel good. Everybody else thinks, oh yeah, something happened. But actually nothing ever happened. No change happened. Right? They yell, they scream, they banish, they this, that, nothing changes. Why? Because you're not educating the persons. You're not doing it for their benefit. In other words, you have to benefit the individual and the community. If you only benefit the community, not the individual, the community is made up of individuals, means all those individuals in that community, at the application of that punishment, will become insecure, including the ones who, affected it. So that's the top point. Top to the bottom, insecurity. And when you're insecure, that's when you start doing things really weird. And so you do something extreme, then you think you've done something, but they've done nothing. They've absolutely done nothing. Because the problem wasn't solved. Because the problem comes from the individual or comes from the community. Right? Why does the same problem come up? Why in the Western community are the girls always being cheapened and used by the boys? Because they're all bad girls? Right? Because the society and the values that they have make them cheap. And then when they go cheap, oh, then it's their problem, then throw them out. So have you ever solved the problem? Never. The problem is the community. Because the individuals in the community don't know what they're doing. They're insecure. They're untrained. So that's the whole. The Vedic is education is all. This whole idea of this modern thing of professionals and we're the professionals, you don't know, we'll take care. That doesn't exist in the Vedic. You go to an Ayurvedic doctor, he teaches you how to live a lifestyle and change your lifestyle, your diet and everything, that you don't get sick. He doesn't think, well, if I do that, I won't get any more jobs. Because he knows it's a material world, people are going to get sick anyway. But his business is to educate you. Why psychologically, why physically, why emotionally, why you're getting sick. That's his job. So that's the Vedic. So if the community leaders aren't educating the community, they're not leaders. They're just not leaders. And they're doing, there may be some benefit, but not so much benefit. You get a little rubble on the road that nobody ever smooths out, you know. So like that, that's about it. You know what I'm saying? Where's the education? Where's the training? You're saying people can't do this. You know, you divorce, you're out for 2 years. Who's training them not to divorce? Who's training them to actually have a successful life? Nobody. Nobody talks about it. It's not even brought up as a point. It's not a point of discussion. It's in nobody's consciousness. But they'll take the authority and yes, we're here and we're the good guys and we're the moral and we pick up the rocks first. But when they're the ones sitting there against the wall and everybody else has got the rocks, then what? Oh, well, you know, you got to understand and made a mistake and...
Can you just elaborate a little on the sleep?
Sleep.
Sometimes we hear that, you know, for kids to grow properly, they need 10 or 12 hours, whereas Ayurveda mentions 7 or 8.
Okay, the standard thing of sleep is 6 hours for anyone 12 and above, if they're healthy. If you're sick, it's 8 hours. If your nerves are shot, 10 hours. That's Ayurveda. 12 hours, I don't know. Maybe they want to grow giants or something like that. But giants have never been known to be very smart. When you think of giants, you know, like the guy that, you know, sells the beans and all that stuff, you don't think of a great academic, you know, like that. Where they've come from, I don't know. But, you know, they come up with all kinds of interesting things, you know. But the point is you always have to make a balance. Maybe it's ideal, 12 hours of sleep. But then, you know, for perfect growth, but then what about everything else? What about growth of your, you know, how you say, your intellect, of your character, of your, you know, other aspects? So, you know, you gotta, something's gotta give, you know. I'm sure if you put yourself permanently on a drip, you know, with all kinds of, you know, high grade proteins and vitamins and just carried it around with you, you'd become super healthy and strong and all that. But, you know, it might reduce, you know, you might not be able to play football or something, you know, like that, you know, unless it might be, unless you can put it on like a hovercraft or something, then maybe you can move around and that, but.
Strap it to your back. Maybe.
Oh, strap it to your back, yeah, okay, yeah, that might work, you know, so, you know what I'm saying, is so, parents that say stuff like that, right there, just end the conversation, just say it was nice to know you, because those parents you'll never be able to work with. One, they have no faith in the Vedic. Two, they read too many things. And three, you'll never be able to work with them like that. It's just, it's impossible like that. As we notice that Prahlad Maharaj, who's a boy, is saying, you know, that the materialists, they waste 100 years, 50 years is gone in sleep. That means 12 hours a day. So he's already pointing out that the gross materialists, they sleep 12 hours a day, right? Then 20 years of that is wasted in youth. You're just running around and thinking you're something special, you know, being an idiot. And then 20 years is wasted in old age, like that. So that leaves you how many years? 10. Okay, so now you want to claim back some of that 10. You know, you get more than 10, you got to take it out of the sleep, right? And in the Vedic, then you catch another 10 years out of the youth, like that. So, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, they have statistics like that, you know. You're going to sleep this many, eat this many, you know, blow your nose this many times, flush the toilet this many times. You know, it's all that. They've got all these wonderful. So those kind of things, anyone who brings that up, then you can mention what it is. They understand it. They have faith in it. Great. But if they oppose it, just say it was nice knowing you. Because it's, anyone I've seen like that, it's never worked. Absolutely none of them. You know? And then later on, you know, kind of like ironic justice, then you see their kids do something weird and leave with all their sleep and all their, you know, good size and physical development. They don't have any character development or other things, and it doesn't go well. You know, something, another ho-hum kid like that. Because then it puts them in ignorance. Where are they going to get that sleep? Right? Are they going to put them to bed as soon as the sun goes down?
No.
They'll go to, so where do they get that sleep? They sleep through the morning. Anyone who sleeps through the Brahma Muhurta, right? It puts some modes are there. Like that. And for kids, then they get used to that. And the adult who has sadhana, they're sick or something, they sleep through, they don't feel good. Yeah, but they know what the standard is. And then as soon as they're better, then they can adjust that. But for the kid, they get used to it, and that's normal. Right? And it's just absolutely normal. And then they can't adjust to anything else. So it's not good. No, 12 hours is... I don't know where they got it from, but you give them another 10 years, and they'll figure out that too much sleep is... I think I read... Actually, no. It was just some months ago. I was reading something, if there's too less sleep, then what it'll cause, the problems, but if there's too much sleep, then what it'll cause. Yeah, it was just some new, you know how they always come out with these new findings and all that stuff. It was just another thing, too much sleep also does something wrong. So that's why you have the balance. So 6 is the thing. You see in India, they go to bed at, you know, 10 at night, get up at 4 in the morning, go to bed at 11, get up at... They just automatically do it, everybody. They're fresh all day, they don't... Because they've always grown like that, that's just the way it is. But the Western, they always do the more sleep, more, oh, don't bother them, oh, you know, this, that. And then they grow up and they can't adjust. And that, I don't know, happens. Okay, and procrastination means you can do something you don't like that. Because you think, oh, it can be done later. It's not that you don't know it shouldn't be done. It's not like idleness, you don't think anything needs to be done. This is a matter of, you know it should be done, but it can be done later. It's not an emergency. But the idea is the things that aren't emergency, that can be done, get immediate benefit, should be done right now. Right? Subhasya Sigram, do it now. Then all the big long-term projects that you really have to think about and take many, many years, those will go on. But if nice projects are constantly happening, people are inspired, something's going on. Then when the big project comes, then something very special happens. But if you wait for the big special one, how often does that happen? Every 5 years, 10 years? Then, you know, like that. Vaishampayana continued. The illustrious bull among the Kurus, having heard these words of that best of Brahmins, bowed down unto him and worshipped his feet. Gratified with everything he heard, the monarch said unto Narad of celestial form, I shall do all that thou hast directed, for my knowledge hath expanded under thy advice. But didn't he just ask a bunch of questions? Questions means you're asking advice. So what happened here? Okay, now that'll be there. But what do they call them? Literary ornament, literary, what do you call them?
Device.
Device. What was the literary advice used? Device used here.
Third person, like asking questions.
Third person, but in the questions is that they're basically rhetorical questions. Right, so rhetorical questions are basically third person advice. You know, kind of like it's more it distances, it makes you not feel bad. So it's a very good, because you're dealing with the emperor here. you know? Yes.
It was instructional analysis?
Yes, like that. So it's basically you're dealing with kind of like the mood is that of instructiveness, you know? But at the same time, it's formed as a question. So you get them both at once. It works very good. So that's, you know, it's just like somebody's doing something. Are you supposed to be here now? You're not supposed to be. Aren't you? Don't you have a class now? Mm-hmm. You know, it's, oh, yes, yes, yes. And, you know, rather, hey, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in class. Yeah, I know. So, but, you know, they don't think. You say, aren't you supposed to be in class now? Yeah, I guess so. I guess I can play with the frogs later, you know, like that, you know. You know, it's like that, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Having said this, the king acted comfortably to that conformably to that advice, and gaining in time the whole world bounded by her belt of seas. Narad again spoke, saying, that king who is thus employed in the protection of four orders, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, passeth his days here happily, and attaineth thereafter to the region of Chakra, the heaven. Right. So here also we see in that is he's said the things, then having said them, then it goes on and shows the future. He followed them, and he took over the world from it. And now then it goes back to the present, where then he says, what do you call it? That anyone who protects the four varnas, everything will work perfectly for him, right? He'll enjoy here, because it's said that full unit of human happiness is an emperor who runs his kingdom nicely. That's considered one unit of human happiness, you know, a full unit. So everything else is a touch less, right? Then he'll attain to Chakra's place, which will be a few, you know, tens of thousands times greater than that. But does that make sense? So we've gone from, as a literary device, we've gone from the present into the future and then back again to the present, right? But it's done so smoothly, you don't catch it. And a lot of times when devotees, they retell the stories, then they'll take all those and readjust them. So you take all those literary, what do you call them?
Devices
out. Because, you know, it's not what your teacher taught you, you know, in third grade, you know. Oh, you can't put an and there, you know, okay. Like that. Oh, why is this comma here? Okay. So, anything else? And here?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.